a lot of people develop this misalignment of like, hey, I've done all these things, and from the outside looking in, I've achieved, but really, those aren't the things that are valuable to me, and those are things that are not valuable to my family and my long-term, kind of life goals. So
welcome to the WFO Life Podcast. Buckle up for interviews, insights, and practical discussions, and the occasional intellectual oddity, all designed to help you master self, master craft, and accomplish any life mission. Good afternoon, folks, and welcome back to the WFO Life Podcast. Today we have, let's call it a food for thought episode. We're going to get away from doing interviews like we've done in the last few weeks and just kind of sit back and ponder a quote from Vince Lombardi. But before I do that, Chris, how are you doing?
Doing great. A little rested and relaxed after taking a much needed vacation away from the cold of Philadelphia. So it was good.
Very nice. Went down south a little bit and got some sunshine then.
For sure. Yeah. Thawed out. And there was still, snow on the ground in places, which is amazing because I think it got up into the 50s here, but that just shows how much snow we had that it could get up into the 50s and 60s and still not melt all the snow. So God help us. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, in Texas, we've thawed as well. It was after the big freeze that everyone heard about that shut the state down the next week. In true Texas form, we were 85 degrees. So
jeez.
It was amazing swing one direction to the other. And then we had another little cold snap. Now it's all warm again. So crazy weather, and best just to adapt and make the best of each day, right?
Absolutely.
So, Chris, I found a quote that I came across in one of my readings. I'm real heavy into reading right now. I'm reading at least a book a week, and I've got several notes, and probably I could fill some type of podcast or two with the stuff I've been learning. But I came across this quote, and it really got me thinking. I set down a whole batch of notes, and I thought it would be a good one for us to ping back and forth and maybe food for thought for others. So I'm going to go ahead and read the quote. The quote is by Vince Lombardi, famous football coach. The quote is, "Perfection is not attainable, but if we chase perfection, we can catch excellence." So when I look at this, I hear this, I think, okay, that's cool, but what is perfection? What does that mean? And the first thing that popped in my head is a moving target or a goal that's constantly changing. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I've had quite a few both life in and out of the military analogies to this where, probably starting as far back as maybe sports goals going into high school or, life goals as you, forge your path to college and what career you want to take where, not setting the bar too low, right? Because knowing that you may fall short of it, if your goal is too low, then, you're going to maybe sub-optimize your potential, right? Whether
right.
that be in athletics or in life. So I think, what he's saying there, applies to a lot of things. And I think that it's all relative to your, I guess, stage and lot in life. And so I think that, now that we're a lot of people are more sensitive to the world with social media and, instant access to news, it's never enough. It's never fast enough. Everybody wants to get the newest phone, the newest, vacation pictures they can put on social media, the newest filter. So I think right now this is very timely for all of us to reflect on. It's like, what is that actual perfection we're looking for? And I guess maybe keeping in mind that it is relative to like who you are and what, your specific life situation is. It should be made a positive aspirational thing and not something that depresses you because you can't attain it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I think I see a lot of people in my clinical experience that they're always pushing for something better, higher, stronger, quicker, smarter. Everyone wants to be more refined and they're always kind of pushing to this distant place. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a real tendency that once we get to a certain level, say, like, let's say, like, you're climbing a mountain, there's always a tendency to want to push a little bit higher and see what's over the next peak. And I think that's just human nature. But I think what really intrigued me about this quote and this idea is that I think it's a double-edged sword. I think that there is value in chasing a lofty goal, maybe perfection, if you want to call it that, even though it's not really truly attainable. But what I mean by the double-edged sword is that sometimes we chase things like money and career, like you were saying in the social media concept, chasing consumerism or buying the next toy, if you will. But what can happen is, you know, that can be sometimes a negative thing because we're chasing things like the next thrill or the next morsel, if you will. That maybe could be the negative side of things, because if there's just always something else that you're trying to consume or achieve or purchase or that type of thing, then, you know, that can be a very empty existence. And obviously, because you never really can get there, it's really never attainable, then, yeah, you know, that's kind of an empty or a fool's errand.
Yeah, I think that, and what people don't take the time to do, and I think recently rediscovered this through some of the things that I've done over the past year, is that if you don't really invest in getting to know yourself, and that sound, I know that can be cliched or, you know, not very specific, but really, I guess breaking it down into like, what are your specific strengths and actually knowing that, because sometimes what you do in your career, like maybe you've been successful at it, but you know, what are your inherent strengths, like finding out what that is and then what your passions are. And what do you value? I think those three things over the past year have become more evident to me, because I think at different times in my career, the art of achievement, if you will, like, you know, getting promoted or making more money or you know, kind of those standard checks in the box were my ruler. They were my judgments. But then as I've gotten, you know, closer to the end of my military career and, you know, being a parent of older, you know, and older kids, I've realized, like, you know, those standard achievement metrics may be, like you said, like a fool's errand, because you're like, well, wait a second. Even if I achieve this next rung on the ladder, that doesn't really marry up with my values or what I'm passionate about or, you know, what's truly important in life. And so I think a lot of people develop this misalignment of like, hey, I've done all these things, and from the outside looking in, I've achieved, but really, those aren't the things that are valuable to me, and those are things that are not valuable to my family and my long-term, you know, kind of life goals. So I think it's really easy to take the standard, you know, money, status, you know, stuff, you know, that brings happiness, and maybe you replace that with, hey, I need to invest in the time and the things that, you know, long-term I want to be proud about and be passionate about, because nobody's going to remember, you know, what $100,000 car you bought or that you live in this neighborhood over that neighborhood, you know, if you're sacrificing quality time with your family or your health through stress that it's creating. You know, so if those, you know, strengths, passions, and values are misaligned, you know, no manner of perfection or achievement is going to give you, you know, I guess, life satisfaction.
Yeah, that's well said. I'm glad you brought the value to, you know, that point up, because if you're, you know, searching and seeking and trying to pursue all these goals and you don't have a good value set, I think that's where I can imagine this becomes that double-edged sword. On the flip side, if you look at someone chasing perfection, look at a guy like Elon Musk. This guy has like at least $3 billion businesses now.
Yeah.
But if you look at his overall mission, I mean, you can't argue with a guy that's working 16, 18 hours a day running all these businesses. And it would seem like, man, that one business like that would be, you know, maybe a big deal for one person. But this guy's doing multiple, all with this bigger mission to get to Mars, to further humanity and give us another planet to be on. And so he's always climbing and building, and it's extremely busyness, but he has it, it's part of his value set. It's what he values. So it sort of fits for him. And so I think that's that flip side. It can be someone seeking perfection and striving very, very, you know, aggressively for a value-based goal. You know, there's great wisdom in that. And I think it's, you know, it's a very important thing for people to have in their lives. They got to have something they're passionate about and something that they can strive for. And I think that's the flip side of this quote.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was going to say Musk is a good example because, you know, some of the products, obviously like Tesla that he's well known for, that he's developed in other, you know, comparisons, especially in technology that come to mind, that people identify with, you know, how that makes them feel, like buying a product like an electric car.
Right.
Where like you, and a lot of studies show, you know, probably the Prius before, you know, Tesla, a little more affordable and kind of mass produced vehicle, but it's like they bought it for more like the symbol of that they were trying to do something that, or they thought do something good for the environment. You know, right. It wasn't so much about the product itself. It was about what it represented. And so people were, you know, subliminally buying these things, or maybe, you know, intentional, but I think a lot of it, it's like, hey, if I have a Prius parked in my driveway, it's saying that I care more about the environment or am I more enlightened. And it also, you know, reminds me about, you know, obviously Microsoft is still a very viable company, but when they competed with Apple on things like MP3 players or, you know, at one point the Windows phone versus the iPhone, they tended to be a little bit behind because Apple was more about, you know, kind of the lifestyle and the creativity and some of the, you know, the values that they brought to the table that were forefront from the company. Whereas in some cases, those products that Microsoft produced were arguably better than the Apple products at different times, but people felt better about buying the Apple products because right. of, you know, the way they looked or the way that, you know, that represented the tie in to different things in your lifestyle. So it's so funny that, you know, people will literally buy a more expensive, inferior product in some cases, if it, you know, makes them feel that they're, you know, doing something better. And so I think the same thing happens in our lives where, you know, sometimes we feel like, you know, going to, you know, perfection or, you know, what the outside looking in would say is valuable. You know, you strive 3/4 of your life and then you get to these milestones. You're like, wow, that didn't really feel like I thought it was going to feel. And a lot of it is because that value system is not backing it up.
Yeah, it's misaligned.
Yeah, I mean, so I think it's I think it's great to find like some alignment. Say, hey, I'm going to achieve perfection in, you know, my relationship with God or my relationship with my family. And I'm going to do all the things that support, you know, that mission, if you will. And so perfection for me is going to look like maybe I make sacrifices at work, but it enables me to, or I, you know, give up like, you know, things that I could achieve at work because I want to spend more time, you know, with my family. You know, I'm going to live in a different place so my commute is less to get home. You know, things like that. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you know, nobody is going to look themselves in the mirror and be like, I feel better that I spent less time with the people I care about because I made more money, you know, and I think a lot of people don't break it down like that. But in some cases, those are the trade-offs. And at the time, you're like, oh, well, I can send my kids to a better school or I can send my kids to college. And it's like, well, your kids probably could, you know, go to college and, you know, do the things they need to do, but they can never get that time with you back, you know, and obviously you have to make, you know, ends meet and that is an important, you know, component of that. But I think too often, I think like I put in the notes, I mean, how much difference is making $200,000 a year versus $125,000 a year, you know, and I think that right. there's been studies show that really over about, you know, 75 to 100,000, there's no like actual realized benefit. Like, you know, that's enough money to have a house, have a car, save some for retirement, you know, have your kids live in a safe place. Everything else is kind of like higher degrees of that. And is that, you know, cost benefit, you know, in your decision-making process. And, you know, for most people, like I said, you get caught up in life and say, hell yeah, I want the promotion. But we might have to move across the country and, you know, I'm going to be gone 4 out of 7 days a week traveling, but I'm going to do it. And so I right. think that is so anyway, that's my soapbox on that.
No, it's good. And so the first half of this quote, this, the idea that perfection is not attainable, that statement that we're chasing a horizon. But the second half of that quote is equally interesting if we think about what is excellence and, you know, achieving excellence. And I think that's a very interesting part of it. Because when I think of this, I think, okay, let's say that you can't have a perfect body, okay, whatever that is. But, you know, people that work out are often chasing, sometimes they chase some type of a version of perfection. So they work out, they body sculpt, or they do intense aerobic training. So excellence, however, by doing, making that chase towards the perception of perfection, you can achieve physical health. And that can be a good-looking body with a body that repairs itself, generates good energy, defends itself, you know, immunologically. Excellence can also be more productivity. It can be, a person who is constantly striving can be make more discoveries, be more creative. Maybe they have more new ideas or businesses and products, art, science, social, environmental improvements. There's so many things that can be powered by this idea of chasing the horizon, chasing the next best thing, chasing perfection for lack, you know, for that term. But at the same time, understanding that at least that brings excellence along the way, and that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, and the physical piece of it is powerful because. And I think one of the things that I, made a note of is everyone has a different ruler. And I think that, you know, comes into play for sure when it comes to physical attributes, right? Because some people, you know, are born taller, born, you know, with certain body types, but that doesn't mean that you can't, make lifestyle choices and decisions that make you the best version of yourself. And right. I think that's where people get so frustrated is like, oh my God, I don't have six pack abs, or, with women probably, subjected to, the worst scrutiny, with society on, you should never have any cellulite. You should be, look at this lady. She's got 3 kids and she's got, six pack abs and no cellulite. And, whereas like, genetically some people, that's just unattainable, but, right. but you can, like you said, I mean, you can, work out, have a good diet, look after your health by, your choices. But so that's what I mean by, your ruler is a different measuring stick than somebody else's ruler. And you think about somebody that has even the potential to be a professional athlete. Now there are anomalies where, the 5'7", 150-pound guy becomes a receiver in the NFL, right? But right. that is like, that's why they make movies and write books about people like that, because most people don't have the drive and the path, or really the want to put themselves through that, to be, competitive on that plane. But most of us can identify with saying, hey, do I feel better than I did, last year at this time? Can I manage, a chronic disease? Like, you have talked about a lot on the show, and we've seen a lot of comments in our network that you can go from being a type 2 diabetic to being completely off of your, diabetes medication and be able to monitor yourself via just diet and lifestyle. I mean, things like that, just getting into a better, improving your lot in life by your, decisions. And I think that, attaining perfection, all depends on what ruler you're looking at.
Yeah, and that ties into kind of our themes on this show. When it falls into the mastering self category,
For sure,
you can, if you're, there's a lot of things you can accomplish in the world if you have health, and part of that is mastering nutrition and lifestyle so that you have the energy to accomplish the things you want to accomplish. I guess transitioning, if you look at, kind of made a couple notes on as I thought about this quote on what are the factors for personal growth and excellence. If, here we are, we're chasing the horizon. We're all trying to get better, master self, master craft, accomplish life missions. And part of that means excellence. And the first thing, I think we both hit on this kind of independently, came personal values, not seeking without reflecting on the how, why, or the cost. in the perspective of our values. Do you, I guess you must agree with that.
Yeah. And I think that ties into kind of our first, I guess, tenet of our podcast mission is just mastering ourselves. And I think when we brainstormed about that, it's like, when you think about it, whether it be personal values, mastering yourself, if you're not right in that area, everything else just becomes more complicated, right? If you're making bad personal decisions, not being ethical, morals, whatever that means to you in your value system, it's like you're never going to feel right in other, I guess, more trivial aspects of your life if you're not right with your mind and your soul, I guess, is the way I see it.
Yes, so. Roger that. Also, I think I hit on the idea when I saw this quote about the idea of lifelong learning. We've talked about this before. It's one of our episodes we did early in the podcast. If we're trying to explore frontiers and get better in life, I think the constant accumulation of ideas, concepts, and strategies is terribly important. This helps us refine what we do. When you're constantly learning, like let's use the physical example. Let's say there's new information that if you do a certain exercise, like strength training, that's going to help you with longevity.
Mm.
Well, that's information that a lot of people don't know. They think, oh, if I just go do aerobic activity, I'm good. Well, actually, the research shows that if you do strength training, you're more likely to age well and successfully. And it's nice to do aerobic activity, but there's some knowledge there that would help you refine your processes moving forward. That makes you a little bit more successful in what you're trying to do physically. So I think that's the point is always learning and seeking new information that can help move the ball a little bit further down the field.
Yeah, I think that what's kind of weaved into those concepts is just being intellectually curious enough so that because you think about it, if you're not always exploring and being curious about what's possible, you can really get into a kind of a state of depression, because as you age, you're like, wow, I don't know what to do about, this problem, or my health is going downhill. But if you're constantly seeking out, and exploring new ideas and concepts and being curious, you're like, no, like you said, it's like, no, actually, I found out that I can have an impact on my longevity and my health. It might not be perfect, but just the fact of knowing that you're not stuck in this rut that you're incapable of escaping, I think gives people, incentive to just, thrive more in life instead of be like, oh, well, I have this diagnosis, I can't get out of it. Where if you're curious and always looking at, ways, to improve, then you're like, you have a completely different outlook on, any news or life events that are inevitably happen.
Right. Exactly. So one last, what I called key factors for growth and excellence, the last one that seems to just jump out at me is the idea that we must be purposeful and have sustained action. So many people have, if they're chasing excellence, they're chasing perfection, but achieving excellence. One thing that's implied in all of that is that we are taking action. And hopefully we're taking action that has the greatest impact, targeted action, not simply busyness for the sake of busyness. I once saw a quote one time that said, busyness is not industry, which is the implication being, you can look really, really busy, but if you're not focused in what you're doing, that's not success.
Yeah.
And I think that's implied.
Yeah, I mean that's powerful, especially when it can come in any form of life, but especially when it's your work is, people burning the candle at both ends. There's a perception that actual physical actions that you're doing equals effectiveness, but when in a lot of cases it's the opposite. The more that you're stagnating, just saying, hey, if I'm here 12 hours a day, then or if I'm the first one here and the last one to leave, that's some kind of badge of honor. And it's like, well, no, that's probably like more like a badge of dishonor, because you're you don't have balance in your life, and that is only sustainable for so long. So I think that the end state too reminds me of the analogy I think we've used before, where are you going to watch what's going on in the game, or are you just going to look at the scoreboard? Right. So, you know, those purposeful and sustained actions are, hey, you know, I want to be healthy. And it's like, you just keep maybe looking at the scale and like, and don't get up and say, okay, you know, what have I planned to eat today? You know, how am I going to manage any temptations that I normally have to eat certain things at certain times of the day? So, you know, I'm going to do maybe some intermittent fasting, you know, do some cardio on an empty stomach, you know, so I kind of maximize, you know, my fat burning metabolism to start the day. And I'm going to eat my first meal as a late breakfast, and I'm going to have, you know, more protein and fat that's going to keep me full and not as many carbs that are going to, you know, make me hungry in 45 minutes after I eat it. So, you know, that's like, you know, watching the game, you know, like what am I doing play to play versus saying, oh shit, we're getting beat, you know, 17-0, you know, right. Just keep working, you know, so, so it's like you get on the scale every morning, you're like, oh, you know, haven't lost any weight. And it's like, well, you know, what did you do, you know, purposefully and sustained over time, you know, to have the intended results? You know, you can't just hope and set, you know, lofty goals without any kind of, you know, plan or deliberate, you know, nature of how you go about it. So,
yeah, that's strong. Yeah. Well, any final thoughts on this, this quote from Vince Lombardi?
I would just say, we all fall into, I guess, peaks and valleys of, you know, some people do it around, you know, New Year's is obviously the one that gets the most press and the most disdain, with people setting resolutions that, you know, are the same ones every year and they never achieve it. So I would just say that, you know, kind of like the quote, you know, lines out there is that, you know, you have to have a direction or you never are going to know if you're, you know, getting to that destination you want to be at. So it'd be like taking a trip, you know, you have a map and a compass and GPS even, but, you know, you haven't really defined like where the heck you're going on your trip, you know? So it's like, yeah, you can have all the tools right in front of you, but if you don't, you know what right looks like, then, you know, how are you ever going to be, you know, constantly being the best version of yourself? So, you know, have big goals is good, but have, you know, what's more important are those like day to day, week to week, you know, pieces you put in place to try to, you know, move forward to that end state. So a combination of both, I think, is what is going to get us to that. You know, look for perfection, and then, you know, maybe you'll achieve excellence along the way if you do just the little things, you know, from day to day.
Yeah, that's good insight, Chris. Well, I hope this has been valuable for our listeners and a valuable exercise in thought. We hope that you're growing and building, refining yourself, seeking excellence. And I hope that you all understand perfection isn't a place or a destination, but rather a journey. And if you're doing on a journey trying to get better, I want to invite you to the Future Focus Health Network. This is something that Chris and I put together for people that are looking for healthy nutrition ideas, looking for a community that's positive, inspiring, maybe a place where you can share and encourage each other to make positive goals and help each other grow. That if you are interested and that sounds good to you, check out the Future Focus Health Network, and we have links in the show notes. And, you know, this is where we can grow together, we can learn, you know, the benefits of a positive community and the brotherhood or sisterhood that goes along with that is very, very important, especially when we're looking at health, lifestyle, mindset. You know, in the Health Network, we don't have all the BS that you have on regular social platforms, negativity, you know, kind of politics and things like that. It's just nice to find a place where you can share and be positive and supportive of other people. And I think that synergy is one of the fun things about the Future Focus Health Network. So while you're there, make sure to check out the WFO Life Podcast Tribe. That's our group within the Health Network, and that's a place where we like to interface with the folks that listen to us. And we'd love to hear from you, show ideas, things like that. So until then, make sure to sign into the Future Focus Health Network and share the podcast with others if you think this information's been helpful. Chris, have a great day.
Thanks. Out.